All right, Alexander, we are back with another Ghislaine Maxwell update. And let me take you to Zero Hedge and read you the title of their article. Ghislaine Maxwell taken off suicide watch claims mistreatment, including numerous body scans. Now, from what I understand, her lawyers are petitioning for her to go back to the general population of the prison. They're saying that she's unable to defend herself or to prepare her case as well. She's constantly getting checked up on in the middle of the night. She's on suicide watch. They have a close eye on her. And she hasn't been herself in isolation. And she wants to go to the general population. And a lot of this is being done because of what happened to Epstein. And they don't want a repeat of that. Let me read you an excerpt from Forbes and you can get into this story. And it goes like this. Until recently, Miss Maxwell was subjected to suicide watch protocols, including being woken up every few hours during the night and being forced to wear special clothing, despite the fact that she, unlike Mr. Epstein, has never been suicidal and was never diagnosed as exhibiting risk factors for suicide, wrote her attorneys, adding that as a result of what occurred with Mr. Epstein, Miss Maxwell is treated worse than any other similarly situated pretrial detainees, reported by Forbes. Alexander, what do you make of this?
Well, first of all, if what we are hearing is true, then I'm very relieved to hear that the authorities are taking the possibility of something happening to Ghislaine Maxwell, seriously, because it's news to me, by the way, that Epstein was considered suicidal before he died. But certainly, it would be an absolute catastrophe if Ghislaine died also. So by all means, I would keep all these precautions going. I appreciate it is disconcerting to be repeatedly woken up during the night. I'm sure that doesn't happen in any kind of oppressive way, but she certainly needs to be observed and watched very carefully indeed. She is not just a defendant. She is a critically important witness. The other thing I'm going to say is, given the nature of the charges, I think Ghislaine would be extremely foolish indeed to want to mix with other prisoners. Now, I say that as somebody who, I was never a prison visitor, but I have visited prisons, and I know people who are prison visitors, and I know what the sentiments of prisoners typically are. So I think, given the kind of crimes that Ghislaine is accused of, I would not advise her to want to mix with the general prison population. I think that would be extremely bad for her health. So I think that her lawyers are perhaps playing this game of trying to make her out as the victim again. This is what it sounds like to me, you know, as being this person who is subjected to all these terrible treatments and whose case has been prejudged, and trying to earn for her perhaps some sympathy that it's difficult to imagine from whom, but, you know, we can always play these games. But in reality, I think it's good that she's being observed carefully, and I would not want her. I would certainly not advise her to want to mix with the prison population.
All right. Now, her lawyers are also saying, Alexander, that she hasn't been able to prepare her case and dig into her case because of the strict observance that she's undergoing in the prison. They also say that she hasn't received all the information about her accusers, the girls that she allegedly trafficked. And from what I understand, there's three girls that have come forward in this case file that are saying that are accusing Ghislaine, and it's a list of hundreds. So it's three girls that could be named out of hundreds. And the lawyers are making the argument that Ghislaine, you know, can't possibly guess which girls it is. So how can she prepare her case if she doesn't know the names of the girls? Is this common? Are her lawyers correct? Are they making the right move by taking this line of action? How do you see this?
Yeah, I mean, you see, they may be taking the right move as lawyers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're also correct. I mean, this is a very, very complicated case. There must be lots of documents, lots of information. It may take a long time to sort it all out. I would not be surprised if Ghislaine gets this information, not all at the same time, but in various, chunks. I mean, I don't think there's anything sinister to this. Obviously, again, the lawyers are being awkward, but that's to some extent what lawyers do. So, I mean, we shouldn't put too much into this. But I also have to say the same about the allegation that, she can't prepare for her case because she's being monitored all the time. I mean, if the claim is that, they're spying on her when she's consulting with her lawyers, that would be another thing, but that doesn't seem to be what's involved here. So I'm sure when she meets her lawyers, she's able to meet with them in private and have confidential discussions with them. What I suspect it means is that they watch her when she's in her cell, when she's trying to read these papers. But that's, I'm afraid, in the nature of this thing. I mean, one mustn't assume that, people are able to prevent it necessarily from reading papers simply because they're under observation. I don't think this is complaints that will be upheld, but there may be tactical reasons why the lawyers bring them.
Is there any reason that you see why, the names haven't been disclosed to Ghislaine? I mean, is it a procedural thing? Are they looking to protect the people? What would be some of the reasons? Is it just a matter of time?
I mean, it could be just a matter of time. I mean, I'm assuming that there are probably tens of thousands of papers of documents, I mean, to process. So it could be a question of time. But it could also be concern about, the safety of these witnesses. I don't mean that, Ghislaine is going to tell her lawyers, or, so and so has reported on me, go and speak to my friend about it, who will arrange for someone to, meet this girl and do something. I don't think it's as straightforward as that. But the more people know about who the witnesses are at an early stage, the more likely that is to leak, and the more likely that is to put a witness in a dangerous position. So I think that is quite likely the case, that they are concerned about the safety of the witnesses. But I think also they probably have a huge task just processing all these documents. This isn't sinister, what the lawyers are complaining about. I don't think anything that I've heard here sounds sinister to me. I think it's appropriate. It shows that she is being watched properly, which I've said why I think that's important. And it also shows, by the way, that she is interacting with her lawyers. The lawyers are speaking with her, they're consulting with her, she's speaking to them, she's consulting with them, she's agreeing strategy decisions with them, and she has access to documents. Maybe not yet all of the documents, but a large part of them. So I think, on balance, what it shows is that this case is so far being conducted properly. That may change. I know some of our viewers have concerns. I think those concerns are justified. All I am saying is, at the moment, on the basis of what we have just heard, that there is nothing either unusual or troubling about it. It is what I would expect.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the other thing I agree with you is if there's one thing we could expect, it's expect surprises in this
Oh, man.
never ending twisting Epstein
Absolutely. Absolutely.
saga. So
Absolutely.
let's see how it continues to proceed. We've got a full year ahead of us.
Oh, at least. I mean, there may be postponements also. The lawyers might want postponements too, bear in mind, especially they're negotiating. So, don't assume it will all end in a year. But, a year would be about the right time.
All right, we'll leave it there and we'll continue to follow this story when and if any news comes out. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Drop us a comment as well. We love to read your comments. And please send us some help on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merchandise. I've got a magic
Absolutely.
mug here. We've
And
got a
I've
magic
got,
mug. We've got shirts, hats, all kinds of good
good.
things. And we can give a quick shout out, Alexander, to our friends at the Patriotic Legacy, the Patriot Beacon 3, 20% off when you use the code Duran20 at checkout. You'll find a link to that code underneath this video. And the Patriot Beacon ships internationally all over the world. All their products actually ship all over the world. Patriotic Legacy, Patriot Beacon 3, Duran20, 20% off to all our viewers, Alexander.
Indeed. This is the Patriot Beacon made by our friends at Patriotic Legacy in the United States, but as Alex says, ships internationally. It is the best flashlight in the world. It is also, as Alex calls it, the Swiss Army knife for flashlights, because it does so many amazing things. Firstly, it's got this extraordinarily powerful beam. So if you want to research the dark secrets of Epstein and you want to go into his, you know, sinister caves and cellars and things and probe around, this is the thing to do it with. It will reach into the darkest places and with this extraordinary powerful, bright, beautiful beam of light, which brings, you know, shows everything. And of course, if you've got people around, you can dim it, or you want to alert them to where you are, you can flash, or if you want to, if you get lost and you want to call people's attention to yourself, you can put an alarm there. Or if also you get lost and you want to find where you are, you've got a compass, and it's solar powered, so batteries don't run out, you know, they don't run out on you. You don't have to sort of unscrew it and put batteries in and all that. And if you've got other things with you, you know, your smartphone, and that's run out on you, well, no worries, because you've got a port there and you can recharge it without any trouble. And on top of all of that, there's other things. It's a perfect tool. You can use it as a hammer, or if you want to break a windscreen, you've got to get a person out of a car, you can do that. And you've got a seatbelt cutter there too. So that's why Alex calls it the Swiss Army knife of flashlights, because it does so many things. The thing that is really great about it, apart from its beautiful light and its many things that it can do, is its sense of quality. It just feels like a really premium, you know, A-class product. It's strong, it's rugged, it gives you that sense of confidence. It has that quality of strength and purposefulness that you get from these great products that are made in the United States. Made by our friends, Patriotic Legacy, ships internationally. Alex will remind you at the end of this broadcast how you can get one, and everyone definitely should have one. And Alex mentioned our shop, our amazing magic mugs, our wonderful shirts, our hats, hoodies, and stickers, our ever-expanding gallery of ebooks. All I would add is go to our shop now. You will find new products there, amazing new mugs with all the flags of lots of different countries. Look for your own flag. If you can't find it, wait a little. If you're still not there, drop us a line and we'll do what we can to accommodate you. You'll find great new shirts. Alex is wearing one with the flag of Canada at the moment. So you can see what amazing shirts there are. Come to our shop, support the Duran, get yourself a Patriot Beacon, and Alex will quickly remind you how to do these things.
You'll find a link to the Patriotic Legacy and the Patriot Beacon underneath this video down below. You'll also find a link to the Duran shop as well underneath this video down below. Remember, Duran20 to get 20% off at the Patriotic Legacy for that Patriot Beacon flashlight. Alexander Beckers, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.